Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we spoke about Saint Monica, the mother of Augustine, and today we speak about her son. We speak about Saint Augustine, one of the greatest teachers in the church. In fact, Magnificat magazine says that he is the most prolific and influential of the Latin fathers. Augustine spent the first half of his life studying and teaching rhetoric in North Africa. He kept a concubine and adhered to the religion of the Manichaeans. His mother's prayers and the preaching of Saint Ambrose, that was the saint, as I mentioned yesterday, that was the saint he met in Rome, the bishop there. Saint Ambrose influenced his conversion. But as Augustine tells it in his Confessions, his entry into the church was primarily the work of God, who pursued him throughout his life. See who I was in myself and by myself. I have destroyed myself, but he who made me remade me. Brothers and sisters, there's always hope. Wherever our lives have gone, there's always hope if we turn to Christ. Always hope. After his conversion, Augustine was elected the Bishop of Hippo. He was known as the Doctor of Grace, and he died in the year 430. Monica, you notice, did not live to see all of that. She died without knowing. She knew that he had been converted, and she died the year after he was converted. But what transpired after that was, in some measure, the fruit of her prayer, that he became a saint, that he became a bishop, that he became a teacher of teachers. My goodness, brothers and sisters, don't ever give up praying for those you love. Don't ever give up. Keep praying. The answer may come after you die, but do not give up. Monica saw him converted, and that was her greatest happiness, of course. But she didn't live to see all the contributions he made to the church. So brothers and sisters, persevere in prayer for your children, your grandchildren. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Ask Saint Monica to pray for you and to help you. The first reading that we have here, we ask you from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 and 14 to 17. We ask you, brothers and sisters, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your minds suddenly, or be alarmed either by a spirit or by an oral statement or by a letter allegedly from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no one deceive you in any way. To this end, he has called you through our gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught, either by an oral statement or by a letter of ours. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and work. Every good deed and work. I repeat that. Every good deed and work. God desires to use you. God loves you. The responsorial psalm, the Lord comes to judge the earth. Psalm 96, the Lord does come to judge the earth. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them. May we welcome him with joy. However he comes to us in these days, may we welcome him with joy. He comes to save. He comes to purify. He comes to strengthen and raise up. He comes to heal. Why would we reject him? The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 23 to 26. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin. You have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guides, who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup so that the outside of the cup also may be clean. Brothers and sisters, we spend so much time cleansing the outside of the cup, the appearance. We do. We so talk about taking care of the externals that we don't really look and see what's most important. God looks at the heart. God doesn't look at the externals the way we do. God looks to the heart. What's the motive? What's the intent? Where are you? Are you giving yourself to me? Are you following me? Are you repenting when you fail? That's what God's looking for. Not because he's got some kind of a checklist there and he keeps wanting to see how you're living it out. It's not that at all. What he's doing, he's looking for your heart. He's looking to whether or not you really are ready to follow him with all your heart. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Do you love him? Do you want to follow him? Do you seek after him? Brothers and sisters, there's no other way to come home to God with joy than if you allow God to see your life, see it fully. Let God into your heart. Let God into your life. Let him see you as you really are. He knows. But when we admit it and we open ourselves to him, and in a sense, we look upon him looking at us, we see ourselves as we've never seen ourselves before. And yet it doesn't cause us despair, because he looks on us with love when we're that open. And that given to him with no excuses, no roadblocks, just here I am, Lord. When we do that, then he can work his miracles of grace in us. So I'm going to encourage you, just like Augustine had to do, to really, just to really come to him and love him and seek to follow him with all your heart. You know that I pray for my listeners. I pray for you all. May God abundantly, abundantly bless you. Let's take a look at what St. Augustine says about faith. He says, "You have heard the Holy Gospel, how the Lord Jesus, in what he was saying to the Pharisees, was, of course, also advising his disciples not to assume that justice lies in the cleansing of the body." Remember the cup, the outside and the inside. "Every day, you see, the Pharisee used to wash themselves with water before they dined, as though a daily washing could constitute heart cleansing. Anyhow, he showed what they were really like. A man was speaking who could really see, who could perceive. I mean, not only their faces, but their inner thoughts. Well, anyway, to prove this to you, that Pharisees whom Christ was answering thought something to himself without voicing it aloud, and yet he heard him. To himself, you see, he found fault with the Lord Christ because he came to his dinner table without washing. That one was thinking, this one was hearing, and accordingly answering. So what did he answer? Now you Pharisees, you wash the outside of the dish, but inside you are full of trickery and robbery. What a way to come to dinner! How unsparing he was to the man who had invited him. Or rather, he did spare him by scolding him so that he could correct himself and be spared at the judgment. Then what was his message to us? That baptism too, which is only administered once, cleanses through faith. Do you really believe? But faith is inside, not outside. That's why it says, and you can read it in the Acts of the Apostles, purifying their hearts by faith. And the Apostle Peter speaks as follows, thus he also gave you, he says, a comparison with the Ark of Noah, how 8 souls were saved through water. And he added, thus, by a similar form, baptism will save you also, not the laying aside of the dirt of the flesh, but the examination of a good conscience. It was this examination of a good conscience that the Pharisees ignored. And instead, they washed what was outside. Inside, they remained utterly defiled. Now, that's quoting Augustine himself and his teaching. But the point of the gospel and the point of Augustine's teaching is, if you just live for appearance's sake, you may be very deeply disappointed when you stand before the judgment seat of God, because God does not judge by outward appearance. He judges by the heart. He judges by your motive. Brothers and sisters, we need to take this very seriously. It's not the outside that God looks at. I'm sure he sees the outside. But he looks at the intention and the motivation of the heart. Now, if your intentions and motivations are mainly self-centered, this is going to take a little while, because the habits run deep. Let me tell you this. Take one particular habit you have where you get focused on yourself. It might be when you're with a certain crowd of people. It might be when you're with one person. It might be when you're in certain situations. But find out, where is it that I am more conscious of me and wanting to come across great? I might even lie in order to sound better. What is it that I do when I have myself in the center of my life? And how would I speak, how would I think, how would I act if God were in the center of my life? That's where God wants to be, because then he can guide you. Say, Jesus Christ, pray this way, Jesus Christ, I want you in the center of my life. I want my thoughts, my words, my actions, my hopes, my dreams, my fears, I want them guided by you, not by my own selfishness or my own fear or my own anger. I want what I think and say and do to be guided by you. When you shift yourself, and it's a process. It takes time, because we're all naturally focused on ourselves. But supernaturally, God can take us and change us so that our first thought is, how can I be pleasing to you, Lord, in this situation? How can I say what I want to say in an honest way that's honestly pleasing to you? How do I handle myself when I'm frightened or worried? Do I put you first in all circumstances? May he be first. Everything will get in order then. More on this later. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.